Last year, Art Cullen of Storm Lake, Iowa, was awarded the Pulitzer Prize. This hour, we travel to Storm Lake to meet him. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Art Cullen's editorials have taken on corporate agribusiness and decried their impact on Iowa's land and water.
God created them as lakes. We've turned them into pollution swamps.
Last month, I traveled to Storm Lake to meet Cullen. He introduced me to the town, its diversity of residents, and the environmental challenges faced by Northwest Iowa. Essays about all these things are in his new book. We meet Art Cullen after this news. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer, and today a special edition of the program, my recent visit to Storm Lake, Iowa, to talk with Art Cullen of the Storm Lake Times. He won a Pulitzer Prize in 2017 for his editorial writing about water quality issues here in Iowa. His new book is Storm Lake, A Chronicle of Change, Resilience, and Hope from a Heartland Newspaper.
Okay, here we are at the Storm Lake Times. Art!
Nice to meet you.
Art Cullen.
Welcome to Storm Lake.
You are the Pulitzer Prize winning Art Cullen in the flesh.
I are.
And I'm in your offices here. Right. And your son is here working away.
Acting like it anyway.
Well, very good. This looks like a good old down-to-earth newspaper setting. There's nothing fancy in here. This is where a lot of work gets done, I bet.
Well, nothing fancy anyway. Right. Right. I'm not sure how much work we get done, but it's Friday.
Okay. So, Art, you led me back to, through your newsroom, into a meeting room. These are previous copies of the newspaper?
Bound volumes of all our editions, yeah.
Okay, back here.
All in paper.
Okay, still in paper.
Right.
Okay, so there's a big mural on the wall. It looks like it might be you in an earlier day.
That's actually my brother John. It was for a lot of community figures were profiled by local artists.
Nice. And behind your head, a sailboat. Are you a sailor?
No. Sailing looks like way too much work. That's just a photo that John took, my brother. John's a very accomplished photographer. One time was Iowa's Press Photographer of the Year. Okay. In a former lifetime.
Well, we'll hope to meet him a little bit later.
Right.
Okay, we're seated now. Art, you won the Pulitzer Prize for editorial writing in 2017. In fact, the book that you just wrote was inspired by that prize, I believe.
Well, yeah, seated in that prize, I suppose.
And if I may read the quote from the prize givers to you, this is, "For editorials fueled by tenacious reporting, impressive expertise, and engaging writing that successfully challenged powerful corporate agricultural interests in Iowa." Tell us about the editorial stance you took. And they looked at a number of your editorials in giving you this prize. The stance that you took here with the newspaper that earned you the prize.
Well, what it really was about was government transparency over public records. The counties were being sued, three counties, Buena Vista, Calhoun, and Sac counties, were being sued by the Des Moines Water Works over nitrate pollution of the Raccoon River. And since the counties had no, since this was a pollution lawsuit, the counties had no insurance coverage for legal fees. And so we asked them, how are you going to pay your fees? And they said, essentially, it's none of your business. And we later found out that the counties had arranged through the Agribusiness Association of Iowa to cover their bills from a group of secret donors. And we insisted that those donors should be made public so we knew who was pulling the strings in the defense of our lawsuit, since conceivably our property tax base was at risk from this lawsuit. And so it was good for the taxpayers to know who is actually funding our defense. And eventually the counties withdrew from the fund because the donors refused to make themselves public. And so we joined with the Iowa Freedom of Information Council in soliciting the release of those names. And when the Agribusiness Association of Iowa refused to release them, then the counties were forced to sever their relationship. This was after having spent about $1.4 million already arguing in court using dark money.
Mm-hmm. And you have your book, Storm Lake, A Chronicle of Change, Resilience, and Hope from a Heartland newspaper, open here. And you have a selection. I'd like you to read a selection from, what is this, one of the editorials that the Pulitzer Prize Committee judged you on?
Right. We submitted 10 editorials on this topic, and the editorials, A, urged the release of the donor names and amounts, and B, it urged a mediated settlement between the Des Moines Water Works and the counties so agriculture could move forward in a responsible and progressive way. And all of our entreaties were rebuffed. So it was a series of 10 editorials, and then one of which was selected for publication in the book, Storm Lake.
Mm-hmm. And you want to read part of that editorial?
Sure. We have asked repeatedly over months how the county will cover its legal bills. The supervisors say they aren't sure. They say they hope their friends will step forward. What sort of friend would leave you hanging with $300,000 in unpaid bills because they covet their anonymity? Any CEO would be fired with that sort of response. Of course, it all beggars credulity. They don't know who is paying their bills. They don't know how they will be paid. They don't know what the status is of negotiations with the Agribusiness Association of Iowa to resume their funding scheme. They should know, down to the penny and period. Either the supervisors are ignorant or coy. Neither serves the public interest. The supervisors are paid just shy of $30,000 a year. They are paid to know the basics of who is paying for what in county government. It's not that hard. The supervisors will say, when they choose to speak, that this is all in the hands of competent lawyers, so none of us needs to worry, including the supervisors. They can fight on with this lawsuit without having any clue what they are doing or who is actually pulling the strings, while encumbering the county potentially with huge unpaid legal bills or, worse, hundreds of millions of dollars in liabilities from a federal district court judge's ruling next year. That's what's at stake here. Millions upon millions in BV County taxpayer liability. It offends the supervisors that we have suggested that the county should pursue settlement talks with the Des Moines Water Works to avoid a mega judgment. Agri-industry and the state's political leaders acknowledge that we have a big problem with stray nutrients finding their way to rivers and ultimately to the dying Gulf of Mexico. So let's get about solving that problem through a settlement endorsed by the state's political leadership who can make something happen. The people who paid the bills for Buena Vista County do not believe in settling. The Kochs and Monsanto have too much at stake to leave it up to the people of Iowa to decide how to manage agriculture and a clean environment in a sustainable way that allows farmers to prosper. The supervisors can blithely tag along for the war, savoring their victory at the top of the hill, so long as they have no skin in the fight. They don't have to pay attention to who is paying the bills, setting the terms for the debate, whispering in the lawyers' ears about what to do and how to do it. They can just shrug and say, "Beats me," and then cash that paycheck. You could call that malfeasance.
Art Cullen, Pulitzer Prize-winning editorial writer, Art Cullen, reading from his book, Storm Lake. That's one of the editorials of many on this theme. So what happened? Did you get satisfaction in your push with this editorial stance?
Well, we were happy that the county withdrew from this illegal secret fund. But we were disappointed that, really, agriculture never got a fair hearing. in federal district court because it was the lawsuit was dismissed by Judge Leonard Strand on a motion for summary judgment, and he ruled that drainage districts, in effect, cannot be sued because they have so little legal authority. They do not have standing to be sued. And so that was frustrating because we had hoped that we could get a clarification, if you will, on the Clean Water Act of 1972 and how it may or may not apply to non-point surface pollution from agriculture. And that question remains, and the Raccoon River remains filthy with nitrate and phosphorus, as do many other surface waters in Iowa. And it's still my belief, and I think the belief of many in Iowa, that we can have a strong and healthy agricultural sector while also letting our rivers run clean. But right now, that's the frustration, is that we really aren't doing that much about trying to clean up those rivers and lakes.
Mm-hmm. We're sitting in the office of the Storm Lake Times here in the middle of Storm Lake. What did the readers, what kind of reaction did you get from the readers of the Storm Lake Times, your community here?
Well, a lot of people who are tied into the ag supply chain were upset about our editorials and probably our news coverage as well, because some people said we were anti-farmer. Well, you know, my father-in-law is a farmer, and my wife is an heir to 500 acres along the Des Moines River that is similarly polluted by nitrate and phosphorus and sediment. And so, no, I'm not anti-farmer. What I'm against is corporations from outside the state who basically own our government, and now they're buying our judicial process as well. And it seems that we Iowans really don't have much of a say on how we manage our own landscape.
I'm sitting with Art Cullen in the office of the Storm Lake Times here in Storm Lake. Art won the Pulitzer Prize for editorial writing in 2017. A huge honor. Art, tell me, how did this happen? How did you win the Pulitzer Prize?
Well, we sent in $50 along with a form.
You saw something in the back of a comic book.
Yeah, right. I just had a feeling that these editorials were pretty good, and I had a niggling notion that we could actually win a Pulitzer, because it's the one place where a little paper can stand out. We don't have an international reporting staff, but I can come up with a cogent argument just as well as a guy in Washington or Houston can. But I don't have the same level of editorial resources that they do. And that's why a little paper stands a chance. And I thought that these editorials were important enough and good enough and had enough national resonance, because we're having similar problems in Lake Erie at Toledo, where there are toxic algae blooms, and in the Chesapeake Bay, and, of course, in the Gulf of Mexico. And so it turns out that they did have national resonance. And so a jury of, I believe, five editorial writers from the nation's largest newspapers voted that ours were the best editorials of 2016, better than the Washington Post and the Houston Chronicle, who were both finalists. Mm-hmm.
And so this is Storm Lake as a microcosm for a problem concerning industrial agriculture throughout the country.
Yes, it's just that Iowa and Illinois agriculture are more intensive than any place else in the country, and the problems here are the most severe, and in Ohio, where there's a huge problem with runoff into Lake Erie from livestock manure. Here the problem more is commercial fertilizers supplemented by manure that are leaching into drainage tiles and into our surface waters, and ultimately to the Gulf of Mexico. And it has to do with climate change, that our climate is getting much wetter in Iowa and in the upper Midwest. And so that's delivering more water to the drainage systems and that means that it's leaching more fertilizer with it. And so there's been an effort in Iowa called the Iowa Voluntary Nutrient Reduction Strategy to fix the problem by several means, by re-engineering the landscape, which we engineered in the first place into this problem of flooding and pollution. And now we think we can engineer our way out. But the fact of the matter is that the Voluntary Nutrient Reduction Strategy has only touched 600,000 acres of 12 million that are drained in Iowa over the past 4 years. So it seems to be a niggling effort to a huge problem.
A voluntary. It's a voluntary, not a mandatory program.
Right. And if you tell me to voluntarily quit smoking, I'm not going to do it.
Okay. Art Cullen, let's get up out of this back conference room here. I'd like to have you just show me your newsroom a little bit and
sure.
Talk about it.
Sure.
Okay. Here we go. Okay. So the newsroom of the Storm Lake Times.
We're in a gray metal building. We call it Storm Lake's nicest machine shed. We built it when we had a press. We no longer have a press. We now print in Sheldon, Iowa. But here's my wife, Dolores, and she's a feature writer and photographer, and with her is our newshound, Peach.
Peach, what? Hi, Dolores.
Hello.
Well, very nice to meet you and Peach here. Peach is cozying up to my microphone cable. Hi, Peach. What kind of pooch is Peach?
She is an Australian Shepherd mix, and she was a rescue dog. Our previous newshound, Mabel the newshound, passed away on the operating table, and our dogs have had their own Facebook pages. And the thing about Mabel was that she was kind of picked up and given love by these publications when we won the Pulitzer. And so Mabel the newshound, even her name was like someone's Twitter handle for a while, and she appeared in a little blurb about newspapers in Country Living magazine. So it was something that people thought was charming, I guess. Basically, she just keeps us sane and introduces a little levity on deadline moments.
Okay. Tell me a little quickly, Dolores, about your work here with the Times. Well, tell me a little bit more about what you concentrate on.
I do the type of story that's not what you considered hard news, and a bunch of features, the person who had a two-headed calf. I do some illustrations, and my degree is in art. I graduated from Clark College, and I learned to write well enough to put something together for the paper. I take a lot of pictures and meet a lot of people. It's not really work when you're going around. And, at one point, an Iowa State research farm, they were raising hogs in a yurt, which was very strange.
Why would you do that?
You know, somebody got a grant, and, you know, it was something they thought would work. And basically, the hogs were suffocating in the heat, and
So don't look for a lot of yurts with hogs in them in Iowa in the future.
No, I don't see that as coming up. I like to explore our immigrant population. Recently, I went to the farmers market and I saw the things they were selling. They were selling jicama, and anytime I Google it, I realize it's never really been grown in Iowa before. Sugarcane.
Wait, you got to tell me what jicama is?
It's grows under the ground, and it looks sort of like a turnip, but it's like an apple. It's very crunchy and good. And
eat it raw?
Yes, you eat it raw, and you learn these things from our immigrants, and you get these inklings that they know a lot about sustaining themselves, growing their own food, totally healthy, totally organic, and that's all interesting to me.
Well, sounds fascinating. Sounds like you get out of bed every day energized, and as you say, it's not really work.
Thanks a lot. Yeah.
That brings me, Art, to you know, modern newspapers have had it tough in the last 10, 20 years as we've entered the digital age. How do you make it here when so many other local newspapers have folded up or been, you know, swallowed up by larger entities?
Well, we've never really made any money. Since 1990, we've always just managed to lose a little or break even. And we just managed to keep our heads above water, mainly thanks to readers, because we've never had that much advertising because we don't have a shopper, so we never got the grocery ads. And so we've always kind of survived on reader revenue, which is what the newspaper industry is learning now. But it remains very difficult, especially in an immigrant-heavy community like Storm Lake, where English skills are limited. Mm-hmm.
So if you were, you know, a lot of newspapers have gone belly up, as I mentioned. So if you were to give advice to a small town that wanted to start up a newspaper or resuscitate an old newspaper, what would you say? What is the secret to having what I have to believe are a lot of faithful readers and subscribers?
Well, I told my brother John in 1990 that he was insane to start a newspaper in competition with an incumbent newspaper, especially in Northwest Iowa, where population is plummeting like a rock. And then the population is replaced by people who don't necessarily read English. And so I would tell people who are crazy enough to want to start a newspaper or a digital news site, first, you better have about $100,000 saved up to survive the first year. Second, you better concentrate on news and not on opinion necessarily, even though we're talking about editorial writing, but what we lead with is community news. We do not
news that people can't get on the internet otherwise.
Correct. Two-headed calves and blind bowlers and fights with the city council or the Buena Vista County Fair and pictures of winning sheep. That's how we sell newspapers. And you just can't really appreciate an engagement photo on your cell phone like you can in your local newspaper. And an obituary just doesn't seem the same on Facebook as it does in your local newspaper. But I'm an old man.
I'm Ben Kiefer, and today it's a special edition of River to River. This hour, my recent visit to Storm Lake, Iowa, to talk with Art Cullen. He won a Pulitzer Prize in 2017 for his editorial writing, writing about water quality, soil, and agribusiness here in Iowa. His new book is titled Storm Lake, A Chronicle of Change, Resilience, and Hope from a Heartland Newspaper. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll visit Little Storm Lake and the Outlet Dam for Storm Lake. We'll also meet John Cullen, that's Art's brother, who founded the newspaper. That's right after this short break. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. And we're back with more River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. It's a special edition of the program. This hour, my recent visit to Storm Lake, Iowa, to talk with Art Cullen. He won a Pulitzer Prize in 2017 for his editorial writing about water and soil quality issues, as well as agribusiness. His new book, Storm Lake, A Chronicle of Change, Resilience, and Hope from a Heartland Newspaper. After we left the newspaper office, the Storm Lake Times, we took a trip to Little Storm Lake. That's a marsh complex near Storm Lake. Cullen drives a Chevy Volt. It's a plug-in hybrid. So fitting, given his views on climate change. Well, when we got into the car, we started talking about the chapter in his book titled, We Can't Go On Like This.
Iowa's climate is changing rapidly, and it's affecting our agricultural production right now. And farmers know it, but most other people don't know it, that we're shipping our most precious resource, our soil, down the Mississippi River with these torrential rains. That we had a 7-inch rain this week. That's becoming common now, 5 to 7-inch rains. And Cedar Rapids today is bracing for floods. And it's all because of climate change, which is induced by carbon. Yet look how many huge pickups that get 8 to 10 miles a gallon. There's one right there. We're all driving them.
Mm-hmm. You ever quiz people, talk to people, interview people about their choices in vehicles and about climate change around here?
No, because it's too difficult to get past them complaining when gas prices go above $3 a gallon. So it's very difficult to get to the next conversation.
Okay, now we're heading down. What street is this? Beautiful houses, beautiful neighborhood.
This is where I grew up, right here, 200 yards north of the lake, 216 Geneseo Street. Our streets are named after New York Finger Lakes. Oneida, Hudson. That's actually a great lake.
And, okay, we're turning now. The lake, Storm Lake, right in front of us. Beautiful day, beautiful lake.
Yeah, and we're driving through the Living History Tree Museum, where apple tree came from a seed from Johnny Appleseed, and so on and so forth. A cherry tree descended from Washington's cherry trees in the Living Heritage Tree Museum. It's my tourist plug for Storm Lake.
Is there a place we can park and walk along the lakeside?
Sure, we're going to be driving out to Little Storm Lake, which is a marsh complex, and we can stop there and kind of get a lay of the land and how the whole Storm Lake watershed lays out.
Okay, so we're out of the car, Art, and we're walking through a little woodsy area to where?
We're at Little Storm Lake. It's immediately west of Big Storm Lake, and it's a marshland complex that filters sediment from the nearby fields before it reaches the big lake. And we sort of got started on our path to the Pulitzer here. We were concerned in the 1990s that we were losing our lake to sedimentation. A lake that should be 26 feet deep had an average depth in 1990 of about 7 feet.
That was due to what?
This increasing rainfall driving exponentially higher loads of sediment from the nearby watershed to the water bodies. And so, actually, sedimentation rates, erosion rates have been increasing, not decreasing, since 1980 because of climate change. And so we were urging that the state dredge this lake, and we ran a campaign for years, and a 20-year campaign to dredge the lake, and it just finished this year. And part of this whole project was to restore Little Storm Lake, which had been filled up with mud from what we call Iowa black gold, from soil that had washed in from Powell Creek, which feeds Little Storm Lake.
Okay, so there's a little tower here. What is this, an observation deck?
Yes, and this was done as part of a project that the newspaper was campaigning for, to build a nature center at Little Storm Lake that would explain the story of how wetlands are needed increasingly to filter the nutrients from our farm fields that are finding their way to surface water.
Okay, so we have these excess nutrients, and this marsh area uses those up before it gets to the lake, so that the lake water can be cleaner and less filled with algae, and the fish are happier.
Right. And so We can see the windmills off to the west, and we can see cattails and vegetation growing that are holding soil in place and keeping it out of the big lake, which is a very important walleye broodery and fishery for the state of Iowa. Most of the walleye broodery for the state is done here in Storm Lake. So it's very important for game fish to keep that lake to a certain depth to avoid winter kill.
What is the future of Storm Lake now with these changes? Will it fill in again eventually without other actions?
Well, it's fairly well protected now. About 80% of the Storm Lake watershed is using some sort of conservation treatment. This was one of the earliest and most intense watershed protection efforts in the country, thanks mainly to the perseverance of a soil conservationist by the name of Jeff Kestel, and from Senator Tom Harkin, who kind of took a personal interest in helping save this lake.
So for people around the country, around Iowa, this would be a problem and a remedy that would be applicable to other parts of the state and the country?
Yes, we need more wetlands to both store and filter water, what I call the flotsam of agriculture, that filters out that soil, holds it in place, and keeps it out of the Gulf of Mexico. And
where we have a huge dead zone, and any fisherman down there can tell you that the effect of Midwest agriculture on the Gulf.
Right. There's a dead zone in the Gulf of Mexico about the size of the state of New Jersey, and it's growing, and it's absolutely destroying the shrimping industry down there. So we can grow 200 bushel corn here. They can't catch shrimp anymore in the Gulf. So it was Storm Lake, the lake itself, that got us interested in the story of water quality, because without Storm Lake, what do we have? Nothing. Just mosquitoes. And so Storm Lake is everything to this community. And so I went out and started with our pressman, Jim Robinson, and we went out and started looking at other prairie pothole lakes that were formed by the glacier, like this one. And they're all being filled in with sedimentation and are being turned into marshes now to filter ag runoff before it hits rivers. God created them as lakes. We've turned them into pollution swamps.
What didn't we understand about how agriculture on an industrial scale would affect the ecosystem here however many decades ago?
Well, we didn't appreciate, first of all, that climate change was occurring and that soil erosion was increasing, not decreasing. And as agriculture gets leaner and leaner and prices get tighter and tighter and cost margins get tighter, people seek more acres to spread their costs over. So they're planting into the Raccoon River, literally into the banks of it. They're planting into the banks of some lakes in northwest Iowa, actually into the banks of the lakes. And it's all done without any penalty. And in some cases, crop insurance actually protects them by planting into those river bottoms.
Now, after our visit to Little Storm Lake, we drove to the outlet dam on the southeast corner of Storm Lake. Now, this is where it feeds the Raccoon River. Art wanted to point out the quality of the water as it poured over the dam and how that differed from the water that was in the Little Storm Lake marsh area.
What is this here, Art?
Okay, this is the outlet dam on the southeast corner of the lake, and it is dropping into the Raccoon River and feeding the Raccoon River with this water that's been filtered by Little Storm Lake on the other side of the lake, which we just visited.
So this water is in pretty good shape.
Yeah, as you can see, as we walk closer without diving in, you can see how, those white caps are clean and clear. The water coming out of this lake is clean. You can see the rocks under the water.
And that's due to the swampy area that we just visited.
Right, and to dredging, because we created more depth and removed that much loose sediment from the lake. About 700 million cubic yards of sediment have been removed from this lake in the last 15 to 20 years. And it's paid huge dividends in water clarity and water health. For the first time in my life, we're seeing vegetation grow in the lake. It's been suffocated by turbidity. The murky water doesn't allow vegetation to grow. And without vegetation, you can't have perch or bluegills or crappies, which fishermen value.
And imagine that, exactly, that helps the tourism.
Right. Fishing is a big part of this community, obviously.
And at its worst, describe this lake. When was it at its worst, and what it was its worst?
Well, in the 1960s and 70s, there were points where you could almost walk across the lake. It had gotten so shallow through an extended drought period. And it will get that shallow again someday. But at least we've dug deep enough holes to protect those fish now. But the sediment is still flowing in. It's still creeping in. And it'll have to be. We didn't finish the dredging. This lake still isn't 26 feet deep. It's probably 12 or 13 feet deep on average now. We're only halfway there. We dredged it in the 1930s. We dredged it in the 1960s. We dredged it in the 1990s. And we'll be dredging it again in another generation.
If you just joined us, Art Cullen. I'm visiting Art in his hometown of Storm Lake. He's a Pulitzer Prize-winning editorial writer, the Storm Lake Times, and also author of a book called Storm Lake. You mentioned, and you write about this in the book, you mentioned how glaciers formed this lake and lakes in this part of the state. I wonder, activate our imagination and tell us, what would this lake have been like before European settlement?
Right. When the surveyors found it in 1854, it was lined with granite cobblestone and surrounded by spongy bogs that soaked up water and nutrients and protected the lake, both its water level. The marshes that surrounded this lake would release water during drought periods to the lake, and then it would hold water during rainy periods. Well, we plowed up all those, we drained those bogs and plowed them up and created the most fertile corn ground in the world. The Des Moines Lobe is where we sit. We're on the western edge of the Des Moines Lobe of the Wisconsin Glacier. The eastern edge is Clear Lake, and then the southern tip of it is the Iowa State Capitol. It sits on the southern tip of the Des Moines Lobe. This is the world's most productive corn ground. But because of our intensive farming and because we've lost so much of that soil that we broke with the prairie, our corn yields are actually showing now protein declines because the soil is less healthy, and therefore the corn is less healthy, and that's promoting a diabetes epidemic in Latinos who feed on a corn-heavy diet. So there are connections between human health and soil health that very few people appreciate, but we're starting to see it show up right now in field tests conducted by Iowa State University.
I'm Ben Kiefer, and this hour, you're listening to a special edition of the program, River to River, my recent visit to Storm Lake, Iowa, to talk with Art Cullen. He won a Pulitzer Prize in 2017 for his editorial writing about environmental issues and agribusiness. Now, after we left the dam, we went back to the newspaper office, and I got a chance to meet Art's brother, John, who founded the Storm Lake Times back in 1990. I started by asking John when and why he started the newspaper.
I founded it in 1990. Our first issue was came out just before July 4th in 1990, and I had tried to buy the other newspaper in town, and they weren't interested in selling, so I decided to start my own, and my wife Mary thought I was a little bit crazy, but she said, "Okay, go ahead if that's your dream." We had two little kids at home. One was two and the other was a newborn. So, but we got going and lured Art to come up here and take over the news side of it a few months later. And
what was he in, what, Minneapolis or the Algona paper then?
He was at the Globe Gazette in Mason City.
Oh, okay, another one.
Right. And we really needed his help here. Our newspaper was growing very fast, and we needed a steady hand to guide the news side of it.
This is a quote from your brother Art's book, Storm Lake, writing about the founding of the paper. The Cullen brothers opened a new chapter in the history of Storm Lake. Print the truth and raise hell. So elaborate on that last sentence of your mission here. How did you see it when you started?
Yeah. Well, our mission was just to reflect the community and print it, report on everything that happened in the community, good and bad. And sometimes when you print the truth, that raises hell. And I think it might have been Harry Truman who said, people think I'm giving them hell, I'm just telling the truth, and they think it's hell. Something like that, I'd have to look it up. But in that movie from A Few Good Men, You Can't Handle the Truth.
So you've been doing this in a few years. You'll be, I guess, celebrating a 30th anniversary. 30 years. Did you think when you started that you'd be around 30 years later?
I had no idea. I guess I hope so. I thought it would be nice if some of our kids could take over the business. And we had two kids, and they weren't. They went off to the fame and fortune of the big city and bright lights. But Art was able to convince his son Tom to stick around and be the next generation.
Right. He's a reporter on the paper.
Right. So it's really a family operation. My wife, Mary, works here. Art's wife, Dolores, works here. Tom is our ace reporter. And their dog, Peach, is our news hound. And at times over the years, all of our kids have worked here through grade school and high school. They came up on press days and helped us assemble the paper and clean out the office and all sorts of things.
Now, I can imagine people listening in communities all across Iowa and elsewhere being very envious of a family-owned newspaper in a town of this size, 15,000. What is the key? What is the business model? What can you say as a publisher about how you make a relatively small community have its own paper and have a paper that reflects its character and life?
I'd have to say it's a terrible business model. If Art and I could have made a lot more money doing something else, but we're committed to improving Storm Lake and Buena Vista County and the area around us. But there's really no money to be made in a small town newspaper.
Do you feel you've made a difference over the years?
Yes. A lot of that credit, if not all of it, would go to Art, I would have to say, because he's championed these causes that needed to be taken up, you know, dredging the lake, building a resort, building new schools for the community, when some of these ideas weren't popular. And also to welcome people from around the world into our community to make it a better place. That certainly hasn't been wasn't a popular idea way back when. Even when Governor Ray brought the first Southeast Asians over to Iowa, a lot of people didn't like that, but they accepted it. Now all these people are integrated into the community. These people from Vietnam and Cambodia, Laos, they've all come here and become Americans just like the rest of us. And now that's happening too with the Mexicans, Guatemalans, Ecuadorians, Micronesians, Sudanese, you name it, we've got them here. And at first, some people didn't welcome them, but now Storm Lake, by and large, welcomes all these immigrants because they've over the past 30 years, they've grown to be part of the community, just like the Irish and Germans and Scandinavians before them.
Okay. John Cullen, publisher and founder of the Storm Lake Times, thank you very much.
Well, thank you for visiting Storm Lake.
I'm Ben Kiefer, and this hour we've been listening to a special edition of the program, My Visit to Storm Lake, to talk with the 2017 Pulitzer Prize winner, Art Cullen. His new book, Storm Lake, A Chronicle of Change, Resilience, and Hope, from a Heartland newspaper. River to River is produced by Lindsay Moon, Emily Woodbury, and Caitlin Harrop. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.